and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men. This, I think it's important to note that though Jesus is writing to real churches, right? There was actually, when this was written, a church at Ephesus and a pastor that would eventually get this note. This was real. This actually happened. There was an actual church called Ephesus. It no longer exists, but scholars believe and people that study God's word believe that these seven churches that he's talking to, Ephesus being the first, that these seven churches are pictures or types of the church today. Does that make sense? So in other words, we as a church, if we studied all seven churches, would fit somewhere, would be like one of these seven churches very likely. I'm going to make a suggestion. I hope not, but I'm going to make a suggestion that maybe Ephesus is where we fit the most neatly. Will you allow me to jump to that conclusion? That this church at Ephesus is a church like ours. Know your deeds, your toil, and your perseverance. Been faithful. This church was faithful, right? I know your deeds, good deeds, your toil, a lot of hard work, a lot of energy. Do you agree? A lot of energy. A lot of good deeds. Your perseverance, and this is great, and cannot endure evil men. A lot of scholars just basically believe that this is the Baptistic evangelical church we're talking about, a church that's doctrinally very, very correct. But you're not going to allow some pastor. You did not hire a pastor, and you will not, and you would not hire a pastor that just doesn't care about God's word and doesn't care about doctrine. Very, very doctrinally correct. Our church and our church background. We studied that earlier in this series. We have a Baptist background that we believe holds us most closely to what God's word says. That's why we're Baptists. That's not going anywhere. We're always going to be a Baptist church. Why? Because we believe that we line up most closely to doctrine. It doesn't mean that we think we're perfect. Doesn't mean that one day we're not going to stand before God and God's going to tell me, why were you so moronic? Of course, that's not what the Bible teaches. And instruct us all on correcting our theology here and there. But in a whole, we believe that we have a sound doctrine. Amen? So we toil and we persevere. Definitely a church that we could be said does not endure evil men, never. And you put to the test those that call themselves apostles, pastors. You put to the test those that say, I remember when I first, I've shared this story, but when I was on the phone a lot with the likes of people like Victor, if I'd have known Victor then, I would have been, oh, okay. Makes some sense, but Bruce and all these men that were on the board trying to determine whether or not I was a good fit, and I would this true story. I'd get off the phone and I'd be like, nailed it, high five, and Kelly did a great job, what a great interview, and then I don't hear anything for 2 weeks. What's going on here? And Victor calls me back and says, I still got a lot of questions. Not sure what's going on. And do you mind if we do another interview? And so, yeah, Victor, let's do that. Let's do another interview. He called me back. Same question sometimes. I mean, looking for a different answer. I didn't know. So what's going on? And you get off the phone, nailed it. A great job. It's just such a great interview. This thing, we're going to be going up to Tiffin and do meet the church. And a couple weeks go by, and what's going on, Kelly? Try to text Lucas. Lucas, what's the deal? I think still some questions. What? Victor calls me. Jesse, we need to do another interview. Still not exactly sure. This went on, Victor, right? A couple months. This went on for a couple months, and you should be thankful for that process. You should be thankful for that. That means that they were very careful to make sure that we're not going to get a heretic in here leading this church in the wrong way. I wasn't thankful for it at the time. You should be thankful for it. But this church is got that down. Good doctrine. I think about Gene, Sunday school class, a competent teacher of the word, and he does a good job at being faithful there. Bruce, I know the ladies' class, competently led. Paula doing a great job there, and we have godly people. So all around the board, we're teaching the right things. Amen. I believe that. I don't think that's something to sort of sneeze at. I think that's a big deal. That you cannot find that in most churches in Tiffin. I'm going to tell you. There are some, but not most. So I know your deeds. We're doing all those things well. Your perseverance, 50 years as a church, been here doing God's work. We honor all those years, good people, being faithful, persevering, have endured for my name's sake, have not grown weary, all great, necessary things. Great and necessary things. But as like with a lot of things, there's the good with the bad. There's the good with the bad. We ought to be commended. And I have no stones to throw here. I want to bring it all together to why the back to basics. What is it all about as a church? But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Let's let that settle for a minute. It's all great. Doing a lot of great stuff. Great stuff. None of these great things can be confused, however, for loving Jesus. To all these good things that are good, essential, and important, that keep us on the right path, absolutely necessary. We're going to be a church that honors doctrine, that perseveres, that all these important things. But they're not to be confused for, do we have a vibrant relationship and love for Jesus? Not the same. Indeed, Jesus doesn't say, well, you're doing all these great things, but you know, could you tweak a little bit your love? Just make a little tweak here. You know, I need to shore that up a little bit, you know? That's how I would have put it. If I'm Jesus, I'd have said, yeah, you know, I don't want to offend you. You're doing a great job. Hey, work on this, if you will. Work on this little. Jesus is pretty strong here, I think. Pretty strong language. I have this against you. I'm kind of nervous anytime the God of the universe has something against me. Like I'm trying to not have anything that Jesus is like against me about. I think we'd all be wise to make sure that Jesus is not against us. But if this against me, against you, I have this against you that you have left your first love. The relationship that we have with Jesus. That's what it's all about. Everything else, all the basic. Here's what's basic. Here's what we need to get back to the basics about. Do we love Jesus? That's as basic as you can get. That's back to the basics. Do we have a vibrant, real, honest relationship with Jesus? That's love. That's not based on I'm gonna stay busy. I'm gonna do all the things that God requires. All those are good things, necessary things to be busy about God's work. Absolutely, but you can do that and not love Jesus. Understand? They are not the same thing. Working for Jesus and serving Jesus is not loving Jesus. Two different things. And sometimes I think we confuse that. We confuse our zeal. We confuse our zeal for church, our zeal for being busy, getting involved in ministry. We confuse that for, do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? And Jesus says, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember from where you have fallen. I can only kind of picture this as a like a marriage relationship, in a sense. I was reading, it was a great post. I'm going to sell Nathan out because he posted on Facebook. I've been dating Brenda for, I won't say how many years, because I don't remember. I've been, today is signifies however many years I've been dating Brenda. I love that. I should have thought of that. Now I can't say it because Kelly read the post too. Kelly actually pointed out to me. How hard is it to date your wife for 20, however many years, in my case, 17 years? Not easy. Just becomes mundane. You just sort of get used to one another, and you know, it's great when we get date nights and stuff like that. We don't get those often, but since Betty's been here, we get more than we ever have the last few years. Just date nights, you know what I mean? And I love. It's hard to have a relationship, and that's somebody that you see right there, that you sleep with at night, that you're there all the time with, and that relationship can be so hard to maintain, and that's somebody that we see. And 17 years, so, oh man, you guys must be really, really close. You know what? Sometimes it's the exact opposite. Time doesn't bring closeness. Sometimes time brings a distance. So, you know, it's hard to maintain a love relationship with your family and think about how hard that is. How much more difficult is it to have a very vibrant love for Jesus that's just bright and energetic? How hard is that to do with a God who seems very distant sometimes, that we can't see, that we can't touch? It's not a criticism. It's natural that this church would leave its first love. That's a natural thing. And we're always checking it and saying, hold on, my relationship's getting cold. My relationship with Jesus is getting cold. And I'm challenging us today as a church, but individually, how is your love for Jesus today? Not your service, don't confuse it with service. Not, oh, I loved the worship today. That was really great. No, I'm plugging into ministry. I love the relationships, the friendships that I have at church. I love that. Not that. No, all those things are good. But let's dissect it. How is your love relationship with Jesus? So I love that last song. And I love the reprise that we're all familiar with. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. How's your love relationship with Jesus today? Can you say on a scale of 1 to 10, it's great? 10. Or if like me, or you burnt out sometimes and you get involved in ministry and you're doing all those things well, but you can honestly say, I don't know, I don't talk to Jesus like I used to. I don't know him like I used to. I'm struggling with just the relational walk with God. I've confused church for relationship and love for Jesus. That's the trap. That's the trap. And pastors get in this trap the worst. We love the church. I love my church, and I do. Yeah, that's great. I ought to. But do I love Jesus? I love ministry. That's great. I ought to. But do I love Jesus? Am I talking with Jesus? Do I have a vibrant relationship with Jesus? Do I know Jesus? Do I happen to believe that Jesus is lovely and lovable, and that it's a very natural thing to love that which is lovely and lovable? The only thing is, you won't love what is lovely and lovable unless you know that thing. How well are you getting to know Jesus? Do you really, truly love Jesus? Yet, still some good things, but he says, repent. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen and repent. And that's actually, I was thinking about this week. I find that pretty strong, too. You mean not loving Jesus is something to repent of? I mean, think about that. Not loving Jesus is something to turn from and repent of? I actually, just thinking about that kind of settled with me. It's not like murder or something like that. It's okay, my relationship with God's kind of gotten cold a little bit. No, Jesus says, well, hold on, this is a problem. Repent. That's the same language used for all sorts of egregious. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's used of in the New Testament, where Jesus is talking about all these adulterers and philanderers and all that. Those people should repent. We're in the same category. Like, man, do I have a love for Jesus? It's kind of waning a little bit. I better shore that up. No, it's a big deal. Repent. Repent. Repent from where you've fallen. That's kind of a fall. It's a pretty interesting picture. Repent and do the deeds you did at first. That's interesting. Hold on. Repent and do the deeds you did at first. I thought he just talked about the deeds, like he knows your good deeds, right? He just said that we were doing good deeds, and now he's saying go back and do deeds. So it doesn't make sense. So there's evidently deeds that are born out of love for God and deeds that aren't. Does that make sense? Because he talked about clearly. He said, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance. He said that in verse 2. And then in verse 6, he says, do the deeds. He already acknowledged that we were doing deeds. So he said, no, repent and do the deeds that you were doing at first. So evidently there are deeds, there are things that happen, there are actions that orient a loving church, a church that really loves Jesus. There are deeds that orient themselves around love for Jesus. And then there are deeds that are done that aren't oriented around love for Jesus. And I'm not sure which is which. All I know is that I have to be careful to make sure that the deeds I am doing are deeds oriented out of a love for Jesus and not oriented out of other motives. And consequently, there are a lot of good things that we should do that are oriented out of other motives. When I serve people, if I'm serving, right? Certainly I can have a motive to say, I love Nathan, I'm going to serve Nathan, and it not be quite like, okay, I love Jesus, that's why I'm serving. I just love my brother, I'm going to do stuff for my brother because I love him. Okay, so that's a deed oriented outside of a love for God, not directly connected. But here we're talking about deeds that are oriented around love for Jesus. And I don't know what those are. I can't even, it was like, we can't list them. All I can say is that are you doing things, are the actions that orient your ministry, are the actions that orient your life, do they come out of a love for Jesus, or are there other reasons that you do them? How much is your love for Jesus, another way of saying, how much is your love for Jesus determining what you do? I'm telling you, that question has bothered me this week. I don't know that I can say. Certainly there are things and decisions that any pastor can make that have orientations outside of love for Jesus, and this happens. And so I'm just kind of self-checking myself. Is the thing for me love for Jesus, or are there other things? Is that the main thing? My love for Jesus. Is that the thing that definitely qualifies my actions, is my love for Jesus? I have to do a better job. And if you're like me, you have to do a better job. Do we love Jesus? Do we love Jesus? I remember the story. You're familiar. The guy that finds the treasure in the field. Remember? And he finds the treasure in the field. He doesn't tell anybody there's a treasure in the field. He couldn't afford the treasure if he tried to buy it, but it's a hidden treasure. And so he sells everything that he has in order to buy the field. When he buys the field, he gets the treasure, and it's a good bargain. Now, Jesus is the same thing. Jesus says this is like the kingdom of God. We find this thing, this entity, this reality of God of in the person of Jesus Christ, the grace of Jesus. We at one point in our life come to recognize who Jesus is, and we see that, and we give everything that we have away for the cause of getting Jesus. That's the picture of the life in Jesus that we have. I love this thing so much. I've got to have it. I've got to have Jesus. I'd sell everything. It's not like, oh man, well, I hate to get rid of this. I hate to get rid of that. No. It's like, I can't wait to sell this, because the moment I do is the quicker that I can buy that and get into that, because that's much better. That's the life in Jesus. That to me is a picture of what it is to love Jesus. I'm saying, no, nothing else is important for me. To live is Christ, to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. A way of saying that if for you to live is your family or your cars or your wealth, to die for you is loss. To die for you is loss. You can't have a life oriented around things on earth, and then when you die and you leave it here, that's gain for you. That's not the way it works. The only way death is gain is to make your life about Jesus. Then you can say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If you fill in the blank with anything else, for me to live is my family, my dog, my pets, my house, my retirement, my cars, my whatever it is, my prestige, my name, my whatever. If that's your life, then for you to live, if it's live is that, then to die is loss. It's loss. So I think as we think about what it is to love Jesus, I think it's to orient your life around. I mean, I remember when everybody remember, a couple people dating here, but most of us are past that. That's not a criticism. Most of us are past that. So I'm going to use Lindley as an example, if I could. So I have your permission. Okay. So this relationship, Brad, right, Brad? So Brad, I love Brad. I love Brad. Brad is my life. I haven't read that on Facebook recently, but something like that. Brad is my life, and when I wake up, I breathe Brad. And at night, before I go to bed, my last waning thought is Brad. Brad is everything to me. Do I? He loves it. He's like, I know. She's making such good decisions with her life. Everything when you're dating and it's all new is Brad or whoever. Kelly. For too long as you guys get married, which I trust might happen. I don't know. I don't want to speak too fast. Is that speaking a little too fast, Brad? Okay. As things happen and proceed forward, you don't have to propose today or no pressure. In fact, you guys forget this conversation ever happened. This was just sermon illustration. It means nothing. You know, that's relationship and dating is all like that, and your life is oriented around that. And we come to Christ, and we're oriented around Jesus. We love Jesus. And, you know, we used to call that being on fire for God. You know, this person's just on fire for Jesus. The thing is, what makes those fires go out? What makes it everyday and mundane? So I'm going to get Brad back a little bit. After a while, Brad just becomes Brad. You know, it's everyday. It's mundane. But you less than other people, Brad. But see, Jesus is not like that. Jesus is everlasting joy, good, happy, relationship, loving. And there's nothing about Jesus that changes or gets old, because the vibrancy of who Jesus is and the awe of who Jesus is never goes dull. It's just always bright, always big, always worthwhile, always pouring. And you're discovering, God's word puts it this way, new mercies every day. And every day we're discovering new realities about God that wake us up even more to how good God is. And every time we see God do something for us, the reality of God becomes more bright and more vibrant and more interesting and more something I want to dive into. The problem here is not Jesus. The problem is that we've fallen away. The problem is not that Jesus grows dull and becomes mundane. The problem is that we stop looking at Jesus. We stop learning about Jesus. We stop getting in the Word like we talked about last week. There grows less times of sweet hours of prayer in the garden. There's less of that. And God is calling us. I hope we're not a church at Ephesus. I fear that we're a good church, doctrine church, great church. I'm wondering and asking ourselves, have we lost something of the love that we should have for Jesus? And is that not the most basic thing here? Do we have a love for Jesus that's vibrant? So I don't know how to get that back. I remember when I first came to know Jesus, how exciting that was. And man, I need that, because I need, like, I'm talking about myself. I need that. I need sort of, I've been discouraged, maybe not depressed. I don't know that I've ever been depressed, but just down. You know how this goes, and the life ebbs and ups and downs and all that. And the thing that inoculates me from those negative times is a fast gaze on who Jesus is. I'm going to keep my focus on Jesus. I'm going to love Jesus. I've got to get on that page better. I'm going to get my eyes off of all the other stuff that detracts me and distracts me from who Jesus is. Anybody feel that? Anybody feel just it slipping a little bit? I don't know, the vibrancy of Jesus, you know. I don't have that, and it's not there anymore. Jesus' call to us is clearly, simply, repent. Get oriented back into deeds that are born out of love for Jesus. If we would do that, I'm telling you, because I know, that, you know, with all these changes that have happened, if I could just speak frankly, there are things that I get. I mean, you know, how is this change or that change? And I get it. I honestly do. And I'm saying, consequently, and I've told the elders, we're in a stage now, we're just going to hone in on discipleship, on loving one another. You know, does that make sense? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? That we're taking a season, several seasons, of just sitting back and saying, God, let's see what God does. Let's see if we can get faithful. Let's love one another. Let's love Jesus in a way. Just see what God does here. And I have very eager expectations and hope that God is going to do something great in this place. I believe that without flinching. I believe that. What I'm calling us to could be 20 things I'm calling us to. I'm not. I'm calling us to one thing. Can we say, let's love Jesus. Let's love Jesus. And out of that love for Jesus, let's love one another. Out of that love for Jesus, let's have deeds that God's honored with. But let's love Jesus first and foremost. First and foremost, let's love Jesus. If your relationship with Jesus has gone cold, there will be a healthy time for you at some point in your future where you're going to say, I need to repent. I need to turn from that. I need to start seeking God's face. I just need to find this relationship that I used to have, that relationship like when I was dating with Jesus, and say, I need that again. I need that love for Jesus again. And God is not far from those who seek Him. God is never far from those who are seeking. He's God's word says he's going around the earth trying to find people who will honor him. If we do that, I believe the best days are so close to us ahead of our church and in our future. If we honor God with the love that we have for him, will you receive that this morning? If you receive that, say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Maybe we've grown cold. But Lord, we love you and we want to get closer to you. Help us to have a relationship with you like it was at the beginning. Help our actions to be oriented in Jesus' name around and through a love that we have for you. Lord, help our church to love one another. A genuine, deep, deep love for one another that is oriented around love for God. We love you today. I don't know what it is that you've called us to do in our own individual hearts, but I pray that whatever those things are, that you'd seal them in every heart right now by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God would seal and make us uncomfortable in the areas in which we need to change. Holy Spirit of God, help this sermon to be an impetus of change by your word and by your grace. And we believe that you're going to do it in advance. You're a good God. You're worthy today. You're blessed forever. And you rule and reign in this place. You are the ruler and the reigner here. We stand against any divisions right now. We stand against spirits of animosity, or even in my own heart, Lord, stand against that right now and pray that the God of peace will be over this building, over each of our hearts. Help us to draw close to you. afresh. We ask it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.